that game balling out. I don't think Purdy trusted Ayuk on that downfield throw with a couple minutes left in the game. I think that there were so many drops leading up to the game and in the game, and he felt that, you know, Jennings is right there. Jennings has been the guy all game. I'm going to take the easy five instead of, you know, risking right. a drop. I think he kind of lost that rapport.
Well, that would be good. Sometimes you gotta, you know, you're throwing a Ronnie Bell, and who trusts Ronnie Bell over Brandon Ayuk? And on one of the biggest plays in the game, he trusted Ronnie Bell, and he dropped it.
I mean, in the Super Bowl, you know, he had to trust Chris Conley,
right?
And guys, he was barely playing with. So,
right.
I don't know.
I just missed it. It's okay if he just missed it.
Well, and sometimes you see it a little late, and you're like, I was gonna throw it, but I can't throw it. Mm-hmm. So who knows? Here's is something I will subscribe to, and the more and more people I hear from, they make great points. An unnamed person comes up to me yesterday and goes, "Hey, Joe, I'm a musician." I go, "Okay." He goes, "If I don't practice with my band, do you think we could just go out and nail things on concert dates and when we're doing lives?" I go, "No, I don't." And he's like, "Well, it's the same thing for a sports team, especially in football where things are choreographed as much as they are." And yeah. Like, last year, maybe it didn't have an effect to start the season, but this year it has affected them. I don't know about trust. I think that's going too far. I'm not willing to even entertain that just yet. But in terms of like physical shape and just being a little rusty, right, and feeling a little out of sync of the offense, I think it's pretty obvious that like missing all that time has caught up to them. And now they're out there performing like right. a band would, and they're a note off. Like they're a note off. I thought it was a really keen, you know, metaphor and observation by this individual. And so I wanted to bring that to air. And it's like, now trusting Ayuk and all that, come on. They threw like six passes to him in the first half.
Right.
It felt like he was a big part of the game plan.
Yeah, he was.
Jennings was cooking. He trusted him and, right. and they kind of like adjusted as the game went on, but they also threw down at the goal line to Ayuk on this little slant play. And
right.
So I don't know if he didn't trust him. I just think it might have been a miss.
It could have been that. I was just thinking, boy, does this have to do with the way Shanahan broke it down? It's like, gosh. Now, to Brock's credit, he did do a lot of freelancing on Sunday. I felt like he was scrambling his ass off. Things weren't there. He used his legs a lot more than usual, which I wasn't mad at. Again, Brock was sensational on Sunday. But the Niners got a lot of issues here. They got to fix their defense. They got to fix their pass rush. They got to get healthier. Because, look, you can't overlook New England, and you definitely can't overlook the next four games after the New England Patriots. Let's go to Rob in San Bruno. Rob, what's happening? Rob, you on the line?
Oh, fellas.
What up, Rob?
Hey, I'm on. What's going on, fellas? Hey, it's too many excuses being made right now. Arizona damn near put us 50 on that defense. The deep shots was there. Before the game even started, we knew it was going to be deep shots. We got to stop making excuses. Probably got to make that throw. When I seen him bust wide open, Purdy looked dead at him. He just didn't pull the trigger. That's what it was. Usually I blame Cal, but I can't blame Cal. It's because Cal was letting him run around, doing the Doug Pooley, all type of stuff that game. So it wasn't like Cal was like staying in the pocket. He looked dead at it and decided not to throw it. I think he just got caught on what the play was. Oh, we gonna run this play? Oh, so he didn't run it, so I can't throw it. So baby, he probably got to make that throw. But CMC, he out for the season, man. If you got to go to Germany to get something looked at, yeah, you're done, man. Even if we come back by week 13, I don't think we're going to be even in contention because, like I told you, the downfall is near, man. It is here. You know what I'm saying? Now, if y'all really want to pay $60 million, our defense not that good.
Rob, real quick. Was Purdy impressive on Sunday, though? Come on, you can't be mad at his performance on Sunday.
No, I didn't say he played bad. What I'm going to say is he made plays, but he didn't make the plays when it was time to make the plays. That's what it comes down to. You put up 24 points.
So does he need to run over to Ronnie Bell and hand him that ball next time instead of throwing it to him?
Hey, drops happen. I mean, didn't Brandon, like you say, Purdy last year in the championship game when that should have been an interception? How many interceptions we didn't see receivers save from Purdy? So it goes both ways. Huh. You can't just blame a young receiver out there. So he dropped it, so he needs to be cut. Well, Purdy throw near interceptions all the time. When he do turn over the ball, and the defense in the past made up for it. So it's a team sport. I'm not just going to blame one guy. Definitely a guy who rarely ever plays. It is what it is at this point. Alex Smith didn't get that same treatment. So I'm not going to give it to Purdy.
Rob, how do they fix this defense?
Huh?
How do they fix this defense?
Oh. Most of guys start playing like a $30 man. You pay them because he can get you 19 sacks a year. He hasn't done that. And I'm down on Boston. The way the denied franchise did Wilkes, and I told y'all, so I was sketchy about Sorensen from the first interview. Look at this defense. It's crap. They can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. And my last point is the same DBs last year were great under Wilkes. So why not the same DBs no more? I don't understand. What's going on?
The Wilkes conversation. Listen, it's never going to end with Steve Wilkes, but you know what? There's a lot of heat on Steve Wilkes. I may have been the only one, and I wasn't even trying to defend Wilkes. But I was like, hold on, folks, hold on.
But you know what? Steve Wilkes. If you can't buy in a little on Purdy that game, come on. Come on. And then also, I'm seeing a lot of people on the text line here. They're saying somebody called into Steiny and Goo with that same. I didn't know that. I swear to God, did not listen to Steiny and Goo.
Who cares?
And I always normally admit that. I don't admit that. But it is interesting. Did someone else say that?
No, it's
I like that music analogy. That means it was repackaged and sold to me.
It's probably been used a lot, so it's fine. Don't worry about that.
I feel like I'm stealing. I don't want to steal.
You know what? Please, you're good. It's like whoever invented like the hip thrust. Like Elvis didn't invent it. It was around for thousands of years.
The hip thrust.
Yes, because
you went to the hip thrust.
Because that's what people got upset about. It's like Elvis didn't invent that. That was from someone else.
Well, special teams. Kyle straight ahead on the special teams blunders.
I always loved the special teams to help win, but my biggest thing is to not help lose, and it's not by making mistakes. And you know, we had a bad one in Minnesota with the blocked punt, and then we had a bad one this week with giving up the fake punt. So those are two things that we got to shore up. I mean, I would always love to make plays and stuff on special teams, but the biggest thing is to not be one of the reasons that you lose. And those were two huge things, one in Minnesota and then yesterday on that fake punt. And that stuff we got to be more prepared for first as coaches and get our guys ready for that a lot better than we did yesterday.
What happened on the long punt return?
You'd love to be able to make the tackle at the gunner. I loved how Malik shot his guns, which slows the guy down a little bit. And you need a contained player on that play when he gets to the sidelines. You know, there was a clip in the back, which would have negated him from getting to the sidelines. But once they did end up clipping us, he got to that edge, and our contained player, who was supposed to be there, was not there. He was sucked up in the middle, and they didn't get to that, which led to a huge play. And that's coaching, that's playing, that's everything. But that's why it happened, and we got to make sure that we get a guy there. Because if they do get to the edge, however they get to the edge, you better have a guy in contain, and we didn't.
Didn't have a guy in contain. There was a clip on the play, according to Shanahan. And that was huge. That was huge, despite what we think about clock management or Ronnie Bell dropping the pass. You give up a long punt return like that. You give up a fake punt. You miss a field goal. The week before, you get a punt blocked, set up Minnesota. It's been a disaster on special teams in 2 out of the 3 weeks, and that's a problem.
The fake punt to me is the missed field goal was tough, and don't get me wrong, I want him to make it. Apparently, last year it was like 68-69% from 50 or more. It was 55, so I don't know, what the numbers are from there, but 50 or more last year was about 68 league-wide. The fake punt was the one that's going to bug me, considering where it was in the game and how it breathed life into them. You know, if you just Google or go into YouTube and go Bill Belichick special teams, you will see soliloquies. Yeah.
Well, he had the presser where somebody asked about special teams, and he went 12 minutes talking about a special teams play. Like, he was excellent in it.
I found one, the first one. It's a 10 or 11-minute clip on long snappers.
Yeah, from
the long snapper.
Yeah, from last year or last 2 years or something like that.
It was incredible. But the point being is that, and Bill's talked about this, he spent...
Well, you love Bill Belichick right now.
Well, I find him to be one of the most...
You were so down on him a couple years ago, man. You love you some BB.
No, well, this is where it was at. Like, he was hiring, defensive coordinators to be his offensive coordinator for his young quarterback. That he ran out of coordinators. But I mean, look, the guy does know the sport. And I think when you take a step back and you have a chance to reset, you kind of reevaluate things. And I love listening to his perspective. Is he the gospel on a lot of things? Yes, football related. Because I think he's a student of the game. And I think he respects it. And so he was explaining how when he first came in, he was coming up with designs and plays and stuff for special teams. And he went back and studied the history of special teams. And he really cut his teeth there. And he said a lot of guys, and this isn't everyone, but a lot of guys that start on one side of the ball, they only work on that side of the ball, and they never get to spend time in the special teams room. And he was lucky enough early in his career in the 70s to start in the special teams rooms and then work his way to different sides of the ball. And it gave him perspective on how to build a team out. And I just think that, like, Harbaugh is an example of a guy, Jim Harbaugh. He's talked about, like, I started as a special teams guy.
And that's why you see Baltimore have great special teams every single year. But Belichick did coach around, whether it was the Baltimore Colts, Denver Broncos, Detroit Lions. He coached all type of positions. So he's one of the smart ones out there. That's bad. Special teams, you can't lose games on special teams. You just can't. You just can't. I can't wait to ask Baldy about Nick Sorensen and the defense. Because Rob, he's doom and gloom a lot. And no doubt, I like Rob. But he could be doom and gloom.
But can be.
But there's one thing he said in there. The DBs did play a lot better overall last season under Steve Wilks. DBs were not a question mark. Right now, the DBs look lost. Outside of Diameter Lenore, they look lost. So we got to figure, they got a problem right now. They got a big problem. By the way, Purdy, one thing we didn't touch on, he was so good on Sunday. It's tough to nitpick on a play, but it could have been a game-winning play. Just want to know why he didn't pull the trigger. And I thought maybe it was just a byproduct of playing under Kyle Shanahan because of how rigid he is with his quarterbacks. But that was his seventh career game with at least 3 touchdown passes, no picks. It's the most of any player in the league since 2022. Think about that. Brock Purdy's balling right now, man.
He's really good.
You don't have to worry about the quarterback.
And you know what I would say to you, to not just defend it, but just say it anyway. One play does make a difference in a game. And so whether it's a Ronnie Bell drop, a timeout, a special teams play, a punt, or a stop on defense, like, these are the things you talk about as a team when you lose.
Yep, no doubt. All right, the end of summer sale event is on now at Frontier Ford on Stevens Creek Boulevard in Santa Clara. That's right. What's coming up in the game is brought to you by Frontier Ford. Now's the perfect time to get a great deal on a new Ford car, truck, or SUV. Stop by or visit FrontierFord.com to take full advantage of incredible savings and drive away in your dream Ford at Frontier Ford or FrontierFord.com.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Baldy in 12 minutes. Baldy in 12 minutes. We'll get to Richie Rich and AJ before we get to Baldy. But let me educate everybody. Tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game, we will be airing a 2-hour special on mental health, featuring some of the biggest names in music, news, and sports, and some of the most respected mental health professionals. I'm Listening is our 2-hour special spreading awareness about mental health and the message that talk saves lives. The show will be hosted by Carson Daly and available on the Odyssey app. For more information, visit imlistening.org. Again, I'm Listening, our 2-hour special happening tomorrow at 7 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game. Again, on the River Islands guest line, Baldy will be joining us in about 11 minutes here as we talk 49er football. By the way, before we get to the Lions, the tape for Colton McKivitz. It's a problem, Shasky. It's a problem. Colton McKivitz has got to step up his play. Or you may have to think about Spencer Burford at right tackle. You may have to think about Jaylon Moore at right tackle. You're going to have to do something at right tackle because Colton McKivitz, he's getting cooked by rookies, man. Rookies.
This is, whether it's center, right tackle, free safety, D-end, like, I think it's fair that when the season starts to play itself out and you look at Ricky Pearsall not playing, it's like, well, wait a minute. Was wide receiver, if you were going to bring back Ayuk like all along, at least that's what you were trying to do, right. Why did you take another receiver? Especially when you had Juwan Jennings re-signed. It's like, this is where I think it is fair to start questioning some of the draft picks. You know,
yeah.
When I look at what they've done on the field, already it's like, all right, I think I need to see Renardo Green. I would like to see him play. You mm-hmm. invested a second round pick in him. I think it's time to play him and let's go. You say you don't trust certain rookies. Well, I think you have to right now. I think you have to do baptism by fire. You're playing Dominic Pooney. He's better than the guys behind him.
Yep.
Let's give Renardo Green an opportunity and see if he's better than Yadam.
Yeah, nah, I'm with that there, and I think he will get to play. I think he will get to play moving forward, and he's going to have to play because he's about to start. Like, when you see Seattle, for example, they're going three wide with DK Metcalf and Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Tyler Lockett. You got Noah Fant. You got Charbonnet Hayes in the mm-hmm. backfield. And Kenneth Walker III may be back. That's going to be a problem. You're going to need all hands on deck when it comes to these DBs here. But up front with this offensive line, right tackle, McKivitz and Brindle have got to step up. McKivitz, I'm looking at him on that edge, and we discussed this yesterday ad nauseum. You're still in the momentum back. You're driving the football up 14-7. There's no way that the Niners shouldn't have walked into the locker room at halftime with at least a double-digit lead, a two-score lead. And that was a game-changing play that kept the Rams in it.
He's just not good. I mean, he's just not good. But this goes back to, you know, look at their draft picks. How many tackles have they drafted in the 6-7 years? They took McGlinchey in the first. And I didn't like the McGlinchey move when they did it. And they didn't re-sign him. You know, and he's out for a little while right now for Denver and signed a mega deal. He's not that good of a player.
They drafted a school in 2019 and then McKivitz in 2020.
I mean, McKivitz is
Jaylon Moore the next year in 2021. Who else did they draft as far as tackles? That's it. They haven't drafted a tackle 3 years in the last three drafts.
And wouldn't you say that's been an area of concern, especially like even though you like Trent Williams, he's missed a game or two every year, and he is 37.
Right.
You know, you have to have some sort of plan for the future, and so I'm not saying you got to take a second round pick tackle, but you should be taking him late every year.
Yeah, I mean, this is a problem. It's a problem. You haven't taken a tackle the last three drafts, and really, you look back at the 2022 draft. Brock Purdy saved the damn draft.
Oh my God, saved the damn draft.
Again, Brock Purdy is. I can't say enough about him. I was so damn impressed with him on Sunday. Again, he's that was his seventh game where he's thrown for 300 yards and three touchdowns. It's the most such games in the NFL since 2022. I mean, he's playing on that level. Let me say that again. Brock Purdy, seventh career game with at least three touchdown passes and zero interceptions. Three touchdown passes, zero interceptions. Most of any player in the league since 2022. Let's go to the lines because I see some people want to give Brock some love here. Let's start with AJ in Richmond, then we'll get to Richie Rich in Livermore. What up, AJ?
Morning, fellas.
Morning.
Hey, I'm going to be real quick. I'm going to give y'all Blaine Gabbert, Brian Hoyer, Jimmy Garoppolo, and then in with Kaepernick when he went to the bench. I think people are upset. We need to relax a little bit, but Brock Purdy is like a breath of fresh air. He's a baller. I don't know how you could have watched that game on Sunday, and when negativity comes to your mind, you think about Brock Purdy. What more do you want the kid to do? He's a baller. He's a statesman off the field, at the podium. So, if anything, if I was John Lynch's advisor, they need to shore up this offensive line going forward with this guy, but I think he's going to be our franchise quarterback for the next 5 to 10 years. I appreciate you guys. Have a good morning.
You too. He's throwing to a guy, Saubert, who's been in the league for 8 years, and no one knows who he is. Mm-hmm. He's handing off to Jordan Mason, who wasn't even a starter in college. He's throwing to a guy in Juwan James, who I like, but he's got 96 career catches mm-hmm. in 4 seasons, you know? And so, like, come on. I think this is telling you, as long as guys can somewhat get open and run the right routes, like, the guy's going to make plays. Right? Oh, is he going to be the best player week in, week out? I don't know. Like, Josh Allen, what he did last night with that core, guys. He's clearly a special talent in the league. Maybe Brock's a tick or two below a player like Josh Allen. But I'm watching these other teams, and I'm saying Jacksonville would die to have someone as effective as Brock Purdy right now.
Jacksonville, Cleveland.
Well, Cleveland's obvious. I was just going on Pittsburgh, Monday Night Football.
I mean,
to have him.
I mean, I'm just thinking about what Brock Purdy does. Now, Josh Allen is a special talent, and we see the size, and we see the strength, and we see the throwing power. But he also threw 18 interceptions last year, right? Mm-hmm. Brock Purdy takes care of the football, man. 11 picks last year. You look at Tua last year, 14 picks. Dak had the 9. But even Mahomes threw 14 picks. And Mahomes right now is throwing an interception it feels like every single game.
And he's throwing it less in the air than any point in his career. He's turned into a checkdown monster.
So as we look at Josh Allen, we look at Jaden Daniels, and we look at Brock, and you look at these picks here, and look, we don't know how this year's going to end. But if we take a long-term view at the 49ers, you can start to build this offense around Brock Purdy. What's the best weapons for him? Is it an in-and-out guy? That's why I'm going to hold out reserve. I'm going to, like, Ricky Pearsall, I'm very intrigued with Ricky Pearsall. What type of receiver is he? Is he a Wes Welker type to Brock Purdy? Like, boy, Tom Brady had his Wes Welkers and Danny Amendola's and Julian Edelman's and Montana had his guy. If Ricky Pearsall could be one of those guys, and I have no idea what he is. I have no idea what he is at the wide receiver position. I haven't watched enough of him at Florida. I haven't watched enough of him at Arizona State. I want to see what he does in a big league uniform. But boy, if you could build around Brock Purdy, put some weapons around him, the offense is going to function at a high level.
So those are two different questions, right? So like, can Ricky Pearsall be a great draft pick? If you're zooming out and you're looking at like the totality of his career, absolutely. I'm not going to judge a guy by 4 missed games or 3 or 5 missed games or whatever it ends up being if he has an 8 or 9 or 10 year career, right? There's no doubt about it. I'm talking about for the 2024 49ers, right? Like for the 2024 49ers, they had so many other areas of concern for a team that we wanted to win a Super Bowl, right? Like, and maybe now I have to recalibrate, but my point being is that when I look at a draft pick, there's two ways. There's the immediate impact for this year's team. Like Washington had the number 2 pick in almost every round of the entire draft. Yeah, like they could take a long-term view on all their picks. The Niners didn't have that luxury when you have this many elite players at the prime of their career. And so it's a tough spot to put Pearsall in, but it's also the beauty of what they've built. And so like when I look at the Pearsall picks, like, God, they needed a free safety. They needed a right tackle. They needed an outside linebacker to complement the Dre Greenlaw, whether he comes back or not. They needed another defensive end. You know, you could make a case for center. Like there's all these different areas of need. And if you were going to keep Brandon Ayuk, Pearsall doesn't necessarily help you be better right now than some of these other areas that are big concern because they're like, you know, it's just, do you see what I'm saying? The duality.
I hear what you're saying, but I also see what the Niners are doing. They came out that Super Bowl saying we can't beat man coverage. And right now, when you look at all the data, their wide receivers aren't getting much separation at all unless Shanahan dials it up and comes up with a great design like he did for two of the Juwan Jennings touchdown passes. The out and up there for the third touchdown. And of course, earlier in the game where the safety froze and alerted red streak to Brandon Ayuk on a quick slant. Purdy held the safety there with his eyes and then, oh, Jennings is wide open there for the fourth score to go up 7-0. They couldn't beat man coverage in the Super Bowl. And maybe that stuck with the 49ers saying, we bring in Leonard Floyd. We bring in Gross Matos. We're bringing in some guys here on the defensive line. We'll handle that in free agency. Now we go get Ricky Pearsall, who can beat man coverage. Apparently, according to all the scouts, he can beat man coverage and he's going to be fine. Maybe that's what they saw. You see Kansas City, he took a chance with Xavier Worthy. You know what I'm saying? They're saying long-term, short-term, we need a speed guy, an athletic guy to pair with Patrick Mahomes and get some explosion here. Real quick, before we get to Baldy, let me take Richie Livermore. We'll get to Larry on the other side after Baldy here as Baldy's connecting. Richie Livermore, what's happening?
What's up, my guys? Thanks for taking my call before Baldy jumps on. Man, you know why I'm calling, Shasky. I'm in the garbage truck listening to my dog's roast. I'm minding my business. And here comes Haterade from San Bruno, man. The guy don't ever give love to Brock Purdy. Like, come on, bro. You got almost 300 yards passing, no interceptions, and he's talking about Brock got to make that play. How about Ronnie Bell's weak ass got to make that play? How about you got to catch the damn ball, 3 drop balls? I guarantee you Bell catches that ball and multiple passes are caught. We ain't even in the situation. You're praising Brock. Sometimes, Rob, you need to tap your hat, bro. Stop hating. You know what I'm saying?
Love it. Love it, Richie Rich. Thank you for going at him. And I hope – I seen your kid balling on the diamond. I hope the family's doing well.
He hung up. Squeeze in Larry real quick.
His kid is a great baseball player.
Squeeze in Larry. We're going to ball to you right now. All right, let's go. Shark Week day.
Shark Week, baby.
He breaks down plays better than anyone.
I mean, this is like Shark Week now. And you know what Baker Mayfield is? He's chum. Look at these sharks. You think you're getting away from those 4 angry sharks? It's Shark Week. It's time to eat. Make the read. Urgency. That's the name of the game right here. Urgency. Now, on it. He's on it. Touchdown. Beautiful throw.
He's our 95.7 The Game NFL Insider. Brian Baldinger.
That's right. Every single Tuesday, 7:30 in the morning, you know what time it is. Brian Baldinger joining us on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Baldy, good morning to you. It is Shark Week. What a week three in the NFL. We knew it was going to be a monster week. It was upsets galore all over the place. But let's start with the 49ers, who did get upset in L.A. at SoFi Stadium in the game. We both felt like Shasky and I, they had no business losing. They controlled most of the game. But the Rams hung around, and stole it. But let's start with the positives. And the positive, I think, Juwan Jennings and Brock Purdy. What a game for those guys. If there was any questions about Brock Purdy being the franchise quarterback, I mean, he was sensational, Baldy. Take away the one misread where he didn't see Brandon Ayuk. I mean, this guy was nearly perfect on Sunday, Baldy. Purdy did everything to help the Niners win.
Well, that's what people wanted to see, Bonte. Good morning to you guys. Yep. They wanted to see, you know, what would Brock Purdy look like with...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Without Kittle and without Debo and, you know, without McCaffrey, and he was phenomenal. It was the best offensive day. They put up 425 yards of offense. People talk about the Ronnie Bell drop. It's a drop. It's a great throw. The Rams players didn't drop those 50-yard balls. When Stafford had to make those type of plays, they caught them. Whether it was Atwell or whoever, DeMarcus Robinson, they caught their bombs. And 49ers catch theirs, they win that game. But Brock was unbelievable. I mean, he saw the field. He scrambled. He moved. He had him in position to win that game. I thought he was sensational, and I never thought. I remember years ago talking to Jimmy G about Juwan Jennings. I'm like, what does he do? What's he do well? Like when he was just young and starting, he goes, right. Well, he's not fast, he's not too quick, but like he gets open. He knows how to get open, and boy, did he know how to get open the other day. Like he was just a dominant, fierce dog out there all game long.
Yeah, we'll get right back into Brock, but the Jennings thing is interesting to me because Bonte knows this with me. Like, I'm just a sucker for the 6'3", 220, 230 wide receiver. Yeah, if you can run, great. It's a plus. But, like, there's something about, especially this offense, if you're going to throw a lot over the middle, you better be able to body somebody, and you better be able to be a possession receiver, and it just gives your quarterback some catch radius. You know, you can be a little behind a guy, and he can box a DB out. There's something about his physical makeup in contrast to the other players they have that I just think is a missing ingredient. And I feel like they don't incorporate him enough week in, week out, Juwan Jennings.
They don't. I mean, that catch over Quentin Lake was ridiculous. I mean, it looked like Michael Jordan just climbing. I mean, his hang time, he just draped himself over the safety right there to make that catch. I mean, just an aggressive play with the ball in the air. He's always been dependable, but he always seemed like he was that third option or fourth option, which everybody needs. But maybe, you can't watch that game and go, maybe they paid the wrong guy. You know, maybe that's the guy they should have paid. Maybe that's the guy that, should be their go-to guy, just the way that he performed.
So what's going on with Brandon Ayuk, since you alluded to it, and they did pay Brandon Ayuk, who came off a monster season. Is it just rust? Is it the lack of training camp really hurting him? He got 10 targets on Sunday, caught 5 balls. It looked like they were trying to make him active. They tried to get him implemented to the game plan, and then Juwan Jennings took over. So what is going on with Brandon Ayuk here? Did they pay the wrong guy, Baldy?
Well, last year he averages 17 yards a catch. and he has 7 touchdowns. He's averaging 10 yards a catch right now. He looks pedestrian, and he's playing like he's pedestrian. Like, you don't see the, you know, just the moves to separate. You just don't see, he just doesn't seem like the same person. He doesn't have any sort of swag about him at all right now. He just seems like a guy out there. Now, is that training camp? Is that, It probably is a big chunk of it. No offseason, no training camp, no preseason, and then just go and hit the ground running. And maybe it's going to take a while. You know, 3 years ago when he was in that proverbial doghouse to start the season, he dug himself out. And I'm not saying he's in a doghouse. He's not. But, you know, maybe it's just going to take time for him to find that rhythm back into this offense right now, because he's not really heavily involved right now. And he doesn't play like he should be.
Yeah, I've been telling Bonte, like, even when he does catch a ball, last year he'd do the, you know, the shoulder thing, and he'd do a first down, and there was like an aura or a charisma or just an energy that he played with, and I'm just not seeing that. And like, so I guess let me ask you this. Is it more a byproduct of the balls not getting thrown his way? Clearly, we saw the third down drop that was a little behind him, but he's got to make that play. And he had a drop in the middle of the field as well. And is it a byproduct of him not getting open enough? The quarterback not looking at him? The coach not dialing his number up? What are you seeing?
Nah, I see a little bit of all of that right there, Joe. I mean, I can't pinpoint it. I don't think the 49ers can pinpoint it. I don't think IU can. The quarterback's going to throw it to the open receiver. That's just his job, and that's just how good he is. He's not going to go out, and just the way Stafford did. I mean, Stafford, is, you know, if it's throwing it to Jordan Whittingham and the sixth-round pick, he's going to throw it to him. He's going to throw it to the open guy, and, you know, whoever wins. And the progression will take you through it. But, I mean, could he have thrown it, to somebody? Could he have thrown it to Ayuk on the throw that he made to Ronnie Bell? He could have. Safety was in the middle of the field. He looked like he had his mind made up, because it looked like Ronnie Bell got, you know, one a little earlier. You can't see both. You can't see the right sideline and the left sideline. You got to see one or the other. But he made a decision to throw it to Ronnie Bell. It was the right throw. It was a perfect throw. I mean, receiver's got to catch it right now. I mean, we've seen a lot of drops so far. We saw Ayuk drop one against the Jets in the end zone to start the season. We've seen a lot of drops from this receiving core right now.
Yeah, Baldy here on the River Islands guest lines. Our defense is still respected. I remember we put out the video about Brandon Ayuk in the Super Bowl, how the Chiefs were bracketing him, and if he saw 1-on-1, he was winning. It was a really good breakdown, Baldy. Our defense is still concerned with Ayuk the same way the Chiefs were in that Super Bowl. They're still rolling coverage towards him, because we saw the first touchdown, the safety. Brock Purdy did a great job holding his eyes there with the free safety. Juwan Jennings wide open at that first touchdown. But our defense is still respected Brandon Ayuk like he was that guy, like he was a season ago.
Not many teams have the schemes that Kansas City can come up with. That's 2 weeks, get ready for a game. It's the biggest game of the year. They had a plan.
Right.
I mean, most teams can't game plan to that degree and don't have the chess pieces that Kansas City has. So you don't see that right now.
Defensively, Baldy, it's a problem. What's up with this defensive line, Baldy?
It's a problem. I mean, look, Javon Hargrave, and that the long bomb to Tutu Atwell, like, you know, I don't know if his tricep, you know, I mean, it's a muscle injury tear. Like, I don't know what his status is, but he has not been good. Leonard Floyd has not been, he's been pretty invisible. Nick makes some plays, but not enough. I mean, they don't have depth, and they don't have playmakers up front. That's what this defense is built upon. And so a guy like Stafford, you know, playing with the rookie center and a first-year left guard and a left tackle that missed all of preseason, like, they hold up just fine. And Stafford did, down 14-0. They just kept firing. But the big thing was the run game. I mean, Kyren Williams was, it was under 100 yards, but still, Fred was invisible. I mean, I didn't see anybody make a play on Sunday on that defense. I didn't see anybody that looked like they wanted to make a play. Like somebody that just the way Fred did the week before, where he's just knocking a ball out and getting his hands up. I didn't see anybody do anything on Sunday with that defense.
Is this a byproduct of just missing Dre Greenlaw? Like, because I know that he's an energy guy and he cleans up a lot, right? And so they miss him, but they were running the ball on the inside. They were running it to the outside. You saw Stafford like almost falling over as he's handing over those stretch plays. And then it just feels like they got, I don't know, man. They're missing all the juice. Are they just old, I guess, is the question. Because we could argue about scheme changes and all this. I don't think the personnel is great right now.
That's not. I mean, Charvarius is down on the ground. You know, he's supposed to be their best corner. He loses his footing out there. The safeties haven't made a play. I mean, none of them. I mean, you know, we love Talanoa. We love, I mean, we've seen some things from Tig, Jair Brown. But we haven't seen anything from the safeties. They're not making any hits in the middle of the field. They're not getting their hands on any footballs. Dre is a special player, and he's really good with Fred together. But honestly, they look like they were catching blocks all day inside. And the defensive tackles have been invisible in this defense all year long for the most part. I mean, Hargrave had a sack last week, but I mean, for the most part, they've been pretty invisible. And they've been able to get blocked up front. You just don't see enough scheme things to, like, make up for any of that right now.
What's going on with Bosa? Like, I don't know. I just don't know what's going on. I mean, he feels very one-trick pony-like, very power rush forward. And there are times where it's just, I don't know. I don't see him shedding blocks and stopping the run. I'm very frustrated with him because I know he's a better player than what he's shown this year.
Well, I mean, he hasn't done much. I mean, you know, if Nick was on this call with us right now, he'd tell you he has to do more. He'd be honest with himself. You know, you're going up against guys that you should win against. You know, I mean, Lark Jackson is a guy that, you know, he's paid and he's a former defensive player of the year. You want to win those one-on-one battles. Now, I'll give Sean McVay credit. And, you know, their offense line coach. I mean, they doubled them. They knew exactly who to double on every protection when they wanted to go deep. They chipped them. They slid to them. I mean, he wasn't getting easy one-on-one rushes. But he knows that. He knows he still has to defeat that stuff. But these chips and the way that they use their tight ends and the running backs, especially Kyren, to go over there and just give a shoulder here and there. I mean, they were very, very adroit at protecting Stafford to be able to take those shots.
Yeah, Paul, you're spot on with that. And Devondre Campbell on coverage, Sean McVay picked on him. Other teams tell you who your weak spot is. Other teams will tell you, okay, we're going to attack this guy. Devondre Campbell, pass coverage, struggled. But I want to ask you about Nick Sorensen. Are the Niners doing anything different than they have in the past with their Y-9 scheme, 4-3 zone concepts? What do you see from the defense? Because from us, just two guys on the couch, Baldy, we don't see any creativity. We don't see any creative blitzes, creative stunts. And without Hargrave now, who wasn't playing that well, I'm figuring out, man, if you're going to apply pressure, you may have to start blitzing or something. What have you seen from Nick Sorensen so far in three games as a DC?
He started the game in a five-man defensive line, which they haven't shown at all. And they ran it one play, and that was it. Like, you know, okay, you want to stop Kyren Williams, you know, that's like how they get started. Stop Kyren Williams, all right. And then I thought, okay, well, maybe this is going to be their change up here to be able to stop the inside run game of, you know, a really talented back. But they ran it one play. Like, you just see a change up here. I saw Nick dropping coverage last week once. But you don't see anything consistent, like any sort of consistent change-ups that might bother a blocking scheme. You don't see late stemming. Like, I saw the Eagles against New Orleans, they threw a completely different scheme to stop their run game. They stem late. They confused the blocking scheme of New Orleans. They took the stretch away. I don't see that from Nick right now. And, you know, maybe he's shorthanded. They don't have good depth on the defensive line. It's not a secret right now. And so, you know, Nick has to play an awful lot of snaps just because when he's not out there, it really becomes glaring. So they don't have good depth on the defensive line, which they once had.
Yep.
And so that's a problem right now. And then you just don't see any change-ups at this point right now.
When I'm watching McVay, and I saw Kevin O'Connell do similar stuff the week before, they'll have like a trips formation, and you'll have a guy kind of in motion, and a bunch of guys get jumbled up, and it's kind of like a pick or a rub play where you got guys going one direction, and then let's go crosser, and you got Charvarius Ward chasing somebody like Tutu, who's significantly faster than him. It just seems like the big chunk plays to get 10, 15 yards are always available on those types of plays because they can't heat up the quarterback. And I'm just scratching my head. I don't know, because I feel like the secondary should be better, but when you run a route like that, it's hard to stop it. And you can't get your hands on anyone, and you're just slower than some of these elite wideouts. Did you see that from McVay as well?
McVay's an elite. He's just, I mean, I get smarter just watching him coach every week, just watching how they deploy. I mean, they had two backup tight ends in there, you know, and so that's not their starter, Higbee, but they got two backup tight ends. Hunter Long is out there. He's chipping. I mean, they ran three receivers for the most part.
Yep.
And then they might delay, you know, late or screen to Kyren or whatever. But, I mean, for the most part, they were three receivers attacking the 49ers secondary, and knowing, look, down 14-0, down 24-14, they had to convert some big plays in order to get back into the game, and it seemed like every time they tried one, they converted it, and in large part because, A, Stafford, whether it's no-look passes, the guy's just, he's just, you know, a unique, unique quarterback. Yeah. And he give him time. I don't care who he's throwing to. Like, it seems like he can put the ball right where he wants to.
Yeah, I know. Coming into the game, they ran 11 personnel 100% of the time. They had a little change up there with the 12 personnel, the two tight end sets, and the one back and two wide receivers. We're talking to Baldy here on the River Islands guest line. Before we move on and look, take a look at the Patriots here, special teams, special teams, special teams have been anything but special the last 2 weeks for the San Francisco 49ers. Last week, the block punt Minnesota. This week, they're controlling the game, Baldy. 14-0. I'm going to the bathroom saying, hey, man, they're going to roll. And 4th and 6, they do the direct snap to Ronnie Rivers. That leads them to a 16-play, 87-yard drive that nearly takes 8 minutes off the clock. And it changed the football game. Special teams, punt return, missed field goals. That will lose you games in a heartbeat in the NFL, Baldy.
No doubt. No question. It's third of the game. And here's the thing. At the end of the year, at the end of 17 games, you want to win two games because of your special teams. You definitely don't want to lose a game or two games because of your special teams. You saw last night, you saw Austin Ekeler take a kickoff return to start the third quarter, 60-something yards. Five plays later, they're in the end zone. They're just rolling on Cincinnati. I mean, special teams changes field position, changes the game. Block punts, missed field goals. It gives you good field position on that missed field goal right there. Like, all those things add up. And field position, especially when you're playing a division game like this, it's the difference between winning and losing.
Yep.
Baldy, CMC is out right now. He's going to go to Germany for, I don't know, some sort of specific doctor stuff. I don't know. I don't know what else to say. It's very speculation here. Thoughts on CMC?
There's a lot of guys that know about this procedure over there in Germany, and so I think when you're, I don't mean to interrupt your joke.
Yeah, no, let's hear
the question. But I think that, you know, a lot of guys are going outside the country, whether it's to Panama or to Germany, to get some things done that they can't get done, seemingly in the United States, and to try to just promote healing. And so I don't blame Christian, but it's not a great sign that he's going to have to go to Germany in order to see if he, because it means things aren't healing correctly right now. That's what it says to me. And I don't know whether it is or not. I'm speculating only, Joe. But if you're going all the way to Germany to look at a procedure the way I know Kobe did it one time, I know other guys that go to Panama during the season, that's not a great sign that things are coming along as quickly as you want.
Yeah, the when you say Panama, it's usually to escape the feds. You know what I mean, and move your money. But Baldy, what do you think about Jordan Mason? What do you think about Jordan Mason like right now? Because I feel like there's a player clearly in there who's running really hard. I can't tell you how many runs have been called back because of holds that have been 10, 12, 14-yard runs. I feel like this guy runs hard. He runs forward. Even on 1 and 2 yard gains, he's making three guys miss in the backfield. I think there's a stud in Jordan Mason. And I thought Garendo looked a little better, giving him 4 or 5 carries. So what are you seeing from the guys that are going to replace CMC?
Well, I mean, look, Jordan Mason, I mean, not counting the holds and the plays that have been called back, and the Juice hold on the outside was a killer in that game.
Yep.
And, you know, I don't know the last time Juice got a penalty, period. Like, I just don't even know. But, I mean, he's got 70 touches now, Joe, in 3 games. Like, you know, you're on pace right now for 300. He's never done this before. Like, no, I don't know if he can hold up the way they're going. You need Debo back. You need Garendo. Like, you can't. I don't think you could pound Jordan Mason because of the way that he runs. Like, he finishes his runs. He finishes hard, which is great. You want that. I don't know that he can handle 70 more touches the next 3 weeks without wearing down. You look at his total yards right now, you look at his yards per carry since that Jet game, it has decreasingly gone down.
Yep.
And so that's not a great sign right now.
No, I'm with you.
I mean, to me, now, look, it's a three-game trend. I'm just saying that's a lot of touches for somebody that's never had to do that before.
No, for a market that, you know, was all over Christian McCaffrey, these touches last season, you too, Baldy. Last week we were doing the math. I was like, all right, he's got 48 carries now. He's on pace for 408. Now, he didn't get as many carries against the Rams, but to your point, he's a battering ram. It's only so long. You're right. They got to get a backup in here. Garendo, maybe it's Patrick Taylor Jr., maybe it's Keyshawn Vaughn on the practice squad. I have no idea here. Real quick, looking ahead to the Patriots. They got smoked by the New York Jets on Thursday Night Football, but I look at the first two games. They played Seattle very tough, lost in overtime. They beat Cincinnati in Cincinnati to start the season, and they run the football, which has been the Niners' kryptonite. They can't stop the run right now, and I think they're a solid defense. I know the Jets had their way, but this is not a game I think the 49ers can overlook. I think they can't sleepwalk into it because they'll get beat. Patriots had a long time to get over that Jets loss, Baldy.
No, they had 10 days to get ready. They have a real specific formula. They should have beaten Seattle. They lost in overtime. They physically beat Cincinnati. They have to be able to run the ball, and they got to keep the score close. If they fall behind 14-0, it might be over like it did against the Jets. If they keep it close and they can play their style of football, which is, you know, Antonio Gibson, Ramondre Stevenson running it, they have enough skill at wide receiver that can hurt you. Jacoby Brissett has never been a turnover machine. And defensively, they're very talented. Keon White is a really good player. They've got good players defensively. You know, but if Brock goes out there and carves them up the way he did the Rams, I they should be able to put this game away. But if they keep it close and they play their style of football, they could get this thing into the fourth quarter. And that's how they're built. That's what they want to be able to do.
You know, Baldy, I know you look at all these plays all around the league, and there's so many special ones. The throw Jalen Daniels made last night to end that game was just, I mean, it's like a video game throw. Guy coming in your face, and you rifle it to just the perfect spot at the back of the pylon, diving catch. There was a play by Brock Purdy. There's a bunch of plays by Brock Purdy in this game, but he used his feet. I'm yelling at Bonte last week. He's got to use his feet more. He's got to run because I think that you're running. And I'm not talking about scripted runs. I'm talking about scramble runs. It's a key element of his game because he's good on the run in terms of throwing, and he's got really good aware. He made a pump fake rolling to his left to get a first down and dove with the ball out over the first down marker. Look, I know there's some special plays. I thought it was just an unbelievable play that gets lost in the sauce of a loss. His ability to make plays. And then later, he's scrambling and he slides inbounds to keep the clock going. I don't know if you saw that one where he slides onto his two, but I think he needs to use his legs more. I think that that is a huge element of his game on the outside. And I just think that we sleep on how athletic this guy is.
Well, I'll tell you, Joe, when I'm watching the exact plays you're describing right here, and the first one you described, he actually pumped Jared Verse and then had another pump before he dove for the first down, sticking the ball out across the marker. And when I watched that one play, I thought, this is what Mahomes does. It's what Mahomes has been doing for 8 years. Now, nobody wants to compare Brock Purdy to Mahomes, and I'm not trying to do that. But Mahomes is special at being able to extend plays. And I'll bet you if Brock Purdy and Patrick Mahomes lined up and ran a 40-yard dash, I bet they probably timed the same. I bet they both run in the 4.8s. But on the field, because they're so creative, the pump fakes, the hesitations, they're just skilled runners on the outside. I mean, Brock Purdy constantly turns the corner on defenders in this league that are faster than him. He's a very, very talented guy, extending plays and playing beyond the X's and O's. And I think the longer, like it happened and it worked with Juwan Jennings the other day, but I think we have seen that with Kittle. I think there's a lot of plays to be made beyond the initial X and O play because of his ability to extend plays.
Look good around the league here. Buffalo 3-0. They looked phenomenal last night. They just waxed the Jaguars. They're in trouble. Pittsburgh's 3-0, doing it a different way, led by their defense. It's an old-school type of style they're playing. Minnesota, the surprise of the league, 3-0 right now in the NFC Central. Big game against Green Bay coming up. Who's been the team through the first 3 weeks, Baldy, that you've locked in on and said, boy, they've got action here? What's that one team that's sticking out to you?
Well, I mean, you know, you saw Minnesota last week, okay? I mean, Houston comes up there. That's a stacked roster. I've never seen C.J. Stroud struggle like that in my life.
I know.
I mean, Brian Flores right now, I mean, he held San Francisco to 17 points 2 years in a row. All right? This guy and what they're doing right now. Now, you can talk about Sam Darnold. Sam's been awesome. And I think he benefited a great deal from his year in San Francisco a year ago. But Minnesota's a problem. Because you can't get the ball over their head. And in fact, all three teams, if you look at Pittsburgh, nobody can score against Pittsburgh right now. If you look at Buffalo, if you look at Minnesota, you look at them defensively, nobody's making big plays against them defensively. Nobody. They're keeping everything in front of them. They're all extremely well coached defensively right now. And all of them, and then Josh Allen is the MVP of this league.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, he's thrown seven. He's run for two. He's got nine touchdowns right now in three games. I mean, do the math on that one, Bonte. Like, he's in the 60s at the end of this, at this pace right now.
He's got James Cook running the ball well, catching the ball well. Buffalo's a fun watch. Go ahead. Get in here.
Yeah, you know, Baldy, one last one. We love hearing you break everything down. The season's not over. It's a bad couple of weeks for the Niners. If you could shore up one thing, if you could make one adjustment to get them back on track, because now I'm trying to recalibrate. Like, forget the division for now. Let's just get right into the playoff contention. Just, we got to make the playoffs. What's the thing they have to fix if they want to get to the playoffs?
Well, I think we've seen 2 weeks in a row their inability to affect the quarterback.
Yep.
We saw Sam Darnold last week. We saw Matt Stafford this past weekend. 2 weeks in a row, they have been ineffective at affecting the quarterback. And they're not good enough in man coverage or whatever scheme you want to run. They're not good enough right now to really take that away. If they have to face Patrick Mahomes in 3 weeks, whatever it is, like, until they start affecting the quarterback, you have to, like, look, 24 points is a good number, but it wasn't enough against Stafford. They needed 27 or 30. That's how good your offense has to be week in, week out right now if you're not affecting the quarterback. If you ask me one thing, that's what they have to do, and I'm not sure how they do that, but they have to get better at doing it.
Well, hey, I'm looking at Coach McDonald in Seattle in a couple weeks and what they're doing up there. They're 3-0, and I don't know how good they are at 3-0, but we'll find out on Monday Night Football. Where are you going to be this weekend, Baldy?
I'll be right in New York watching Aaron Rodgers take on the upstart Denver Broncos.
Oh, a little Bo Nix. Bo Nix, Curly Sutton, that defense. What a win at Tampa. What an upset that was, Baldy.
Well, I mean, Tampa, like, this is what happens in the league. You know, you win a big game in Detroit, you come back and you take a big, long nap, and everybody's telling you how great you are and how you're going to go wipe up the NFC South, and here comes Denver, and they go down there, and they just basically make Baker look like we thought what Baker might be, you know, 2 years ago.
Wow, unbelievable. Unbelievable. The NFL is on fire right now. Baldy, we'll talk to you next Tuesday. Thanks for the time, as always, brother.
Okay, guys, you bet, man.
Thanks, Baldy.
Baldy here on the River Islands guest line. With that said, we'll react to that. Edge depth, pressure, gonna be a problem.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
All right, Christian McCaffrey, off in Germany, seek treatment methods for his Achilles tendons. Again, I'll say it and I'll say it again. It'll be a bonus if he produces for the 49ers this season. I'm not counting on Christian McCaffrey to do anything for the Niners this season with this Achilles tendonitis. Defensive tackle Javon Hargrave, he's done for the year after sustaining a partially torn triceps muscle during Sunday's loss. And Brock Purdy's now day-to-day due to back soreness. The injury report brought to you by Boxer Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
I broke my back.
Spinal. Hopefully it's not spinal. Boxer Gerson, we always think of Hillary and the crew. How's Hillary feeling right now? I had to take a shot. I had to make myself feel better somehow.
Don't cast stones in glass houses.
What's coming up for the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Get to Larry on the other side, 888-957-9570. If there's one thing you would have, if you could fix on the 49ers right now the rest of the way, what would that one thing be? Would it be catching some passes? Would it be offensive line play? Would it be D-line pressers? All that coming up here on the Roast on 95.7 The Game.